Good. Coming up next to the stage, Nathan Robert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was actually perfect scheduling because there's going to be a really good connection moment between what I'm about to read and what he read.
I did that on purpose.
You did that on purpose. I know you did. So, in the grand tradition of giving things titles, I decided to steal from the Beatles, and I'm going to call this A Year in the Life. Let's see if I find the right page. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate this thing called fan fiction. For what I am told is the third year in a row. Now, admittedly, except for a small period in early middle school when TRL was still a thing and Carson Daly still culturally relevant, fan fiction was never something I much got into. I grew out of my Daria, yes, Daria, fan fiction phase at about the same time I stopped reading Animorphs books and picked up the Hitchhiker's Guide series. As a serious person wanting to be a serious writer, it just didn't seem to do the trick. Later years would only reinforce this. 50 Shades of Grey did start out as Twilight fanfic, after all. But in reconsidering the genre in preparation for writing this story, it struck me that fanfiction is probably the most personal and democratic type of story you could write. For what is fanfiction but taking characters that other individuals have created and making them do whatever or whomever we want? And so, in that tradition, I would like to present you with my work of fanfiction. This is the story of the next year of my life, written by me, from original characters created by my and other parents. February 2015. I read a story about the next year of my life at Your Stories. People cheer. Grown men weep. I am faded and carried out of the theater to a standing ovation. A publisher approaches me soon after and offers to publish any past and future work unseen for a boatload of money. I no longer need to search for a job and spend my days drinking slightly less cheap beer and writing plays of questionable quality, which nonetheless will be produced to packed houses. March 2015. Defying all logic, Prince and The Cure collaborate on a new album. It doesn't suck. Also, winter ends in Chicago and stays ended. There is much rejoicing throughout the land. April 2015. That cider bar on the north side of Chicago that has been supposed to open for nearly a year now finally opens. I establish a thrice weekly residency there, causing them to rename a corner booth in my honor. The government, in a rare double swoop, legalizes both same-sex marriage and marijuana. Obama's approval rating hits record highs, and the state of Texas formally secedes from the Union. No one really seems to notice or care. May 2015. I buy a Corvette because I've always wanted one, and also, fuck it, why not? Arsenal Football Club goes on to win the Champions League in record fashion, scoring 67 goals over the course of 90 minutes. I am in attendance, and am given a Champions Medal for my continued support over the years. I am also offered a management role with the club, which I graciously turned down in order to remain focused on my writing. The unseasonably warm weather continues. People in Ohio report suspicious dark circles in the sky, but no one pays much attention because they are from Ohio. June 2015, I attend Bonnaroo in Manchester, Tennessee for the fourth time in 6 years. No bands that I want to see conflict with each other. None of my illegal substances are confiscated. During a headlining EDM set, a giant sinkhole opens up in the middle of the ground, swallowing all those presents into the eternal abyss. Once again, no one really seems to notice or care. We are all a bit too busy listening to My Morning Jacket. July 2015. Scientists discover a cure for diabetes. There really isn't a joke or punchline that goes along with this one. I'm just happy that I no longer need to poke or inject myself with a needle 5 times a day anymore. August 2015. My 28th birthday is spent in Edinburgh, Scotland, watching my original play, All of These Banjos Are Banjos, played to a maddening sellout crowd. After the performance, the rabid audience, wanting more, starts a riot outside of the venue. Few are injured, but none are killed. My undergraduate theater professor, long a proposed advocate of theater riots, is immensely proud and sends a telegram of congratulations from Ann Arbor. Although fall has not yet begun, the sky seems to grow a little darker every night. September 2015. The shapes in the nighttime sky are not disappearing or lessening. With each passing day, they only seem to grow in size and quantity, in proximity to the major population centers. World leaders agree to temporarily put aside their differences and hold an emergency summit in Tacoma, Washington. Catering is provided by the Potbelly Sandwich Works Company, trademark. October 2015. Following the secret summit, the citizens of the world are informed that there will now be a 7:30 p.m. nightly curfew effective immediately and until further notice. We are not informed why, because government. Earth prepares for war. News of this does not reach me for several weeks, as I have recently found and torrented every movie or episode of a television show which I have been unable to previously find. The overflow of newly understood continuity leaves me unable to move for much of the month. There is a lot to ponder. November 2015. War is declared. People are drafted. Battle imminent. We must defeat the evil alien overlords. Passionate speeches are composed and delivered by Bill Pullman. Speeches such as these. Ladies and gentlemen of Earth, ask not what your Earth can do for you, but what you can do to prevent your Earth being enslaved by a race of vicious, intelligent, purple space turtles. Excelsior! I wrote that one. It played pretty well in the blue states and in Eastern Europe. December 2015. Initial attempts at preventing the evil space turtle overthrow have failed. We have already lost Australia and New Jersey. World leaders decide that they need to take a more creative approach and, defying anything resembling logic or sense, appoint me as the new Earth Secretary in charge of not getting enslaved and or blown up. I immediately appoint cover stories as my ministers of faith, goodwill, and propaganda. It is their mission to prove the glory of Earth's creations and convince the turtles of the worth of our existence. Sadly, on Christmas Eve, this plan backfires when Eric chooses to play Born to Run. Although seemingly moved by the performance, the turtles vaporize Eric instantly after the performance. He is given a burial in the International Cemetery for Heroes and other really, really awesome people. The boss himself delivers the eulogy. January 2016. As a last-ditch effort to save all humanity, I meet with the Supreme Turtle. For no good or logical reason, he accepts my proposed trade of 4 Cadbury eggs, a 7-Eleven medium cherry and Coke mixed Slurpee, the best of Creedence Clearwater Revival on 8-track, and the state of Ohio, in trade for please kindly fucking get the hell and off and never come back. Let's call this Deus Ex Machina. February 2016. Having successfully saved the Earth once and for all, having written numerous successful plays and being celebrated all over the Earth constantly for nearly 2 months, I decide to retire from the public eye indefinitely. Oh, and I also get the girl.
Seeing Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, that's how I go. I don't care. I don't care. Fuck those turtles. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Claire. Fuck those stupid turtles. They're probably like Johnny Cougar assholes. Guys, Johnny